folks, but it's just great because, you know, we've got so many folks that are ready to just jump right in and be a help and a blessing. And Laura did that this morning. So thank you for that. What a blessing that is. I want to say thank you to Brother Jordan on Wednesday night. I was all set up to go. I went back home in the afternoon to go get all ready and to come back and then have our Wednesday night service. And that's when I started to feel not so great. And so I called Brother Jordan, and he's always ready to jump in. And he always hits a grand slam. I'm kind of jealous because I don't always hit grand slams. But he always does. God really uses him. And so many of you others, that I thank you that you guys are just faithful to be used by the Lord. So thank you, Brother Jordan, again for that. And again, thank you for your willingness to just serve the Lord. Amen. So here we are. We've come to the end of the year. Is this amazing? They say the older you get, the faster it goes. But when I ask young people, I said, is time going by fast for you? You know, how about you guys? Is it going by fast? They all seem to say yes anymore. When I was a kid, it didn't seem like it went by fast. Now it's going by fast. All right, so I know I'm getting old. You don't have to amen that, but I know I told you before, you know, man, I remember the day when I used to just spring out of bed, and now I get up in sections, right? Just a little at a time. And the hardest part is that dismount, you know? That's the toughest part. So, in the middle of the night, and I get up in the middle of the night, you know, more than I ever used to, and I have a little flashlight next to my bed because I don't want any unnecessary surprises along the way, you know, to get there. How many of you use a little flashlight? Oh, come on now. There's more of you than that are owning up to it. Yeah. Okay, well. Okay, so let's turn our Bibles. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to talk about all things are become new. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, you know, obviously I'm stating the obvious. We have a new year here before us. The question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you and I going to do with this new year? Are you going to take it with enthusiasm? Are you going to take it with some zeal? I know in these last couple of weeks, especially in this last week, I've just been talking to the Lord about it and asking Him to help me. I want this to be a better year than I've ever had before. I want 2024 to be greater in the sense of my walk with Him and that relationship that I have with Him. Are we willing to do that? Have you done that up until this point? You know, tomorrow is the beginning of a new year. Have you made some, have you had some conversations with the Lord about this? Have you made some commitments unto the Lord? We have to do this, we have to take this next year and take it on a daily basis. So I want to challenge you to dedicate each and every 365 days to Christ. Now I'm speaking to those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here without Christ, our desire is that you trust Him and receive Him as your personal Savior. He died on a cross for you, was buried, and rose again so that you could have eternal life. There's not a one of us that can earn it. There's not a one of us that can get to heaven any other way. We can't get to it by a baptism. The baptism today that's going to take place is not for salvation. It is simply a proclamation of the fact that these two young men that, and I see Tyler just came in. Good to see you, Tyler. He and Cooper are going to get baptized today, and that baptism is simply to tell folks, hey, this is a profession of what happened in my life. I came to trust Christ as my Savior, and He commands us to be baptized as a disciple. So getting baptized or getting confirmed or living a good life or giving to charities is not going to get you to heaven, folks. It just won't. It's only by the grace of God, because we're all sinners and we're all disqualified from heaven. But God can save us, and He sent His Son so that we can be saved. Now listen, I make this challenge to you about this new year, and I hope that you'll look at this new year and really embrace it and give it to the Lord. Because folks, if you don't, I know how these things play out. I've lived long enough. Because if you don't, little by little, your life and my life will slowly slip away into nothingness. And it'll just end up, nothing will really happen of any significance. It seems the things that we, that in this life that we try and safeguard, that we try to really, protect and shield, they seem to wither up and die quicker. Though the things that we seem to put our emphasis on, the rich fool thought he could take his ease and that he would build bigger barns, but it all went away because that man was told by the Lord, and it was a parable, tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, folks, so we need to give each and every day to the Lord. And I make that challenge to you today. If we don't, then our lives are just going to continue just to decay. Even though those of us that know the Lord, yet we can still live a life that's for self and it's not for the Lord, and it'll just begin to deteriorate and it'll just lead to deadness. And we don't want that kind of a life. We don't want to stand before the Lord knowing that we didn't give our life fully to Him. Amen? How often I've seen that happen with people that retire. They retire and then they don't do anything. And how many times I've watched them just kind of wither away, and they end up passing away quicker than they ever thought because they just didn't seem to have any purpose anymore. May this new year have some purpose for us. Amen? The Bible says this. The Bible says in James chapter 4, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what? It vanisheth away. It's just a puff of smoke. It's there for a time. I'm certainly seeing that. It just goes by so quickly. We must make a choice and not to linger in the valley of indecision. And by the way, we have no excuse not to look ahead with great optimism and expectancy. I said it earlier that, yeah, we're living in some rough times, and we're in places that this country has never been. Some of the things that are being allowed, some of the things that are being espoused, and we see all that, or things that are endorsed, it's like, that's certainly not of God's word. And I've seen a lot of Christians and a lot of believers just get discouraged and downhearted. We don't need to be that way. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord and understand that this is an opportunity for us. This is an opportunity for us to live for Christ and to walk with Him and to be a bright light to those who need to see some light. There are people without Christ, and they need to see Christ in you and I. Amen? They certainly do. For you see, the Lord has given to us all that we need in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need, we have in our great Savior. He's given to us some new things, many new things. And I want to speak to you today about some new things that we have in our possession this morning. So we're going to take a look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to take a look at a verse that we know oh so well. If you've known the Lord for any amount of time, then you know this verse. It would be very, very familiar to you. In verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a great verse. I'll read it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this morning that we can gather together on the last day of the year. We thank you for the year that you've given to us. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the victories. We thank you, Lord, for even some of the things that we wouldn't necessarily think about being thankful for, some of the tough trials and challenges that came our way. Help us to be spiritual enough to be thankful for those things, because those are the things that meant quite often you use to grow us and to strengthen us. And thank you, Lord, for even the failures on our part. Lord, you guarantee us victory each and every day, but quite often we take our eyes off you and we experience defeats. But help us to learn from those things. And so we're thankful for even those. Help us to learn from our foolishness and our waywardness. Lord, may it teach us to keep our eyes more on you in 2024 than maybe in this past year. So we thank you, Lord, for the things that you've given to us. And thank you that you've allowed us to be here today. There's a number of folks who can't be here today, and they're under the weather, and we lift them up to you, just as Brother Jordan did a little bit ago. And we pray for them and pray that you'll bring them back to us. And Lord, we pray about this oncoming year, upcoming year. We thank you, Lord, for 2024 and that we have an opportunity to be ushered into a new year. And Lord, we want to dedicate it to you. We want to commit it to you. Would you help us in that way? You know my own heart, Lord. I want it to be more dedicated to you than every year before this. And I pray you'll help me, Lord. Help me to learn more lessons, new lessons. And Lord, we thank you for the new things that you've given to us. Lord, help us to rejoice in those things. Help us to set our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth, because that'll discourage us. Help us to keep our eyes on you. And we pray that you'll bless this now. I pray for Christ to be lifted up and glorified. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts. I pray for anybody here without Christ, Lord, that you'd show them how they could have a new life in Christ if they're lost, that they would get saved and trust you today. And so I pray, Father, for that anointing. I pray you'll set me to the side. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see there that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This first new thing is a new life. Folks, we have a new life in Christ. Aren't you excited that you have a new life in Christ? And it's new every day. It doesn't get old. I got saved 46 plus years ago. It's going to be almost 47 coming up in January. And I'm so excited that I got saved. And it is really new every day. It doesn't need to get stale. If it's gotten stale and old, then that's your bad. And that's my bad. But we've been given a new life. It is all the time new. For folks, it is eternal life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. For those of us here today who can say with all certainty that we are in Christ, which in itself is magnificent, that we are in Christ, we can also say in addition to that, I'm a new creature. I can say I'm a new creature. That is a truly remarkable thing. It's that eternal life, it's eternal, and it cannot get old, folks. I think about getting old. And, you know, it's happening. I'm in my mid-60s. It's just gone by so quickly. And you know you're getting old when you get excited about staying home on Friday nights. Nothing excites me more when I ask my wife, are we doing anything tonight? No, we're just staying home. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm getting old. It's there are a whole lot of other things that we could talk about as you get older. But especially when we think back to former days when we were lost, when everything to just get old and routine, we can all relate to what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes when he said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He said, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. You see, he wrote that, and God led him to write that, but he was a man that was away from God. He was a man that was a man under the sun, and he just saw things as just being repetitious, and everything just ran in cycles, and everything that happened is just going to happen again. It was a pretty morbid look on life, and we probably had that when we were lost. We were lost and we were without Christ and life was just humdrum and we wondered about our lives. And I remember being there, but I'm so grateful that God decided to interrupt my life. I'm so grateful that God did something in my life when I was 19 and he did something to awaken me and brought some thoughts of, I was never thinking along these lines of the fact that where am I going to go when I die? And this sense of doom just laid a hold on me. And I thank God that God used that and brought me to Christ. The Lord was seeking me out. But everything that Solomon spoke about, it was certainly not gushing with enthusiasm. No, not at all. Many people get there in this life. They say, life is hard, and then you die. Boy, isn't that exciting? That's where so many people are. That's why so many people are on antidepressants. Medications will suggest that, certainly. And there are so many that you think about the suicide rate and how it's increasing. It's a sad state of affairs right now, folks. It's very alarming. And our problem is we fall into the trap of living after the old man, we as believers. We only see the routine and it becomes drudgery. Are you there now, believer? Are you right there where, man, life has just kind of just gotten old? It's just all drudgery. Well, it should not to be. Not if we keep our eyes on the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah about preaching to his people, the Jews, and they had rejected Jeremiah's message. There were some that received it, but relatively few. But Jeremiah said this. He said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." They've forsaken God. He said, "They've forsaken me," as God is speaking to Jeremiah, "the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns." And cisterns are storage tanks. They've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He said, they rather have some old, broken, storage tanks rather than the fountain of living waters. They've settled for that. Have we done that? Have we settled for something that is way second best? Or have we looked unto the Lord and put Him first? It shouldn't be that with the child of God. Amen? The Word of God says here that all things are passed away. Literally, that means they are continually passing away. Continually passing away. And behold, all things are becoming new. All things are becoming new each and every day. We like new things, don't we? We just had Christmas. Yes, I got some great things. You know, my daughter is, you know, she's always asking me every year, "Dad, give me a list of some things that you would like." And I always fail to get out. This year I got it. This year I sat down for a half an hour and just started to think, what do I need? And, you know, it wasn't anything huge, but it was great. I got so many of those nice new things. How many of you got some new things this year, right? Yeah, we got some new things. That was only about five people. What, you didn't celebrate Christmas at all? What did you get, a bunch of retreads? Those re-gifts, is that what you got? No, you got new things, and hopefully you gave some new things. Boy, you don't want to give a retreaded gift to the same person that gave it to you like a couple years later. Oh, that's a real bad one, isn't it? Listen, with everything with Christ is a new experience. And I want to challenge you that if your relationship with the Lord is not, it's not new every day, I want to challenge you to make it to be new every day. To just determine that you'll commit your life. Lord, I want it to be exciting. I want it to be brimming with enthusiasm. I want to read your word so that that my heart burned within me, just like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know, sometimes that doesn't always happen from day to day. I think just in the real world, listen, there are times when God's just going to allow you to have some blasé days just to try you and I. Sometimes, you know, we just like to live on emotions, and sometimes that can set us up for a trap, right? Think about that one. Sometimes we just like, oh, it's all got to be sparkly and new. Ezra and I have this little phrase that we say, "Did that give you the fizz?" And I'll say, "Yeah, that gave me the fizz," and there's things that give Ezra the fizz, and we like that, and we like the fizz, but you don't want to live on fizz all the time. Some of you are like, "Yeah, I do." No, I mean, you know, listen, there's just going to be times, and the Lord's going to make it happen where it's just going to be kind of dead, and He's going to say, "I'm just going to try you for a few days here where there's just not going to be a whole lot going on, and you're going to maybe wonder, where's all the excitement?" And you know what? Sometimes we just have to do things just out of duty. You know, a great preacher way back preached a message, I'm trying to remember that was, a message on duty. A message on duty, because there's times when, yeah, we do things because we're excited about doing things, and we're, you know, we just love it when we're on the top of the mountain, and the emotions are just, oh, man, you know, effervescent, and they're just crazy. But how about those times when it just, there's not much there? Listen, marriage can be that way. Yeah, you're excited, and obviously you love your spouse, you love your wives, you love your husbands, but there's just going to be times when it settles down and there's just not a whole lot there. Well, what do you do? Oh, well, I've just given up on this thing. Seems like Americans do that anymore at a higher rate than they ever have. You know what? It's good for us to have some character and just go, you know what? We're just going to work through this thing. Yeah, it's not always going to be easy. We got to just kind of plow through and power through. But we power through Christ. And if we'll just get through those tough times, listen, that just makes the relationship even greater. And so that's what happens in our spiritual walk sometimes. There's going to be some times when it's going to be dry and dusty. You know, when the Jews were walking out and they were out there in the wilderness, obviously it was not great times. But if they had their eyes on the Lord, those that did and trusted the Lord, God blessed them. And he makes even a dry, barren desert, he makes it an oasis. And he makes fountains of water flow for those of us who keep our eyes on him. Amen? So let me encourage you to do that. All right. And let me encourage you to pray that I'll find where I'm at in my notes now, because I went down a long road there. Where am I in my notes here? Behold, all things are become new. Yeah, with everything, with Christ, everything is a new experience. And so, folks, let me just encourage you to go forward with that mindset. You have this new life in Christ. And then we'll look at verse 18, and we're going to see something else that is new, this new life that you've been given to you because you know Christ, but also this new relationship that you have. Verse 18 here, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He hath reconciled us to himself by Christ. You know, we had no hope without Christ doing what he did for us. Let me say this, but not only is this life that we have with Christ is new, but so is this relationship that has bonded together between us and God. We have this relationship now that binds us to the Father, and it's Jesus Christ who did that. When you try and explain this relationship, folks, and I many times have tried to explain this relationship to people, sometimes they look at you like you have two heads. Like, what are you talking about? Because I never understood it. I never understood it as a lost person that I can actually know Jesus. I can have this relationship with him. Yeah, it's a relationship like no other. We don't see the Lord, but it's this faith relationship. And I've had this relationship with the Lord for all these years. You know how special that is? And you say amen because you know how special it is for you, for those of you that know Christ. To know the Lord and how real he is and how he works in your heart. Listen, a relationship that never was has now come to being because you've trusted Christ. Someone that you and I could never access before is now always available to us. We could never access God. But when we came to trust his son, now we have access unto him. And what a great thing it is to have access. We all like that access. We like access into places. You try to walk into Costco without a Costco card, they'll say, hey, buddy, wait, where are you going? I need to see your card. I don't have a card. You're out of here, buddy. I go over here to Peak Fitness, and I have to go into that little scanner, and it beeps me in, and it says, yeah, you're good. You have access. And I go, yes. I don't do that. People would go, that guy's weird. It's just nice to have access. You know what? We have access unto the Father through Christ. We have access unto him. What a great thing it is that that we have this relationship. It's founded upon the finished work of Christ, upon what he did, and that he went to the cross for you and I. He did all the work. That's what he meant when he said, it is finished. I'm glad he didn't say, I am finished. He didn't say that. He said, it is finished. And you know what he meant? He meant the work was finished. It was completed for you and I. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13 says that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You and I were without hope, and we did not have God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, at one time when you were far off, are made nigh or near. You are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Folks, at one time we were far away from God, and we were lost. But God did a work in our hearts. God certainly did that work on the cross when he sent his son, God becoming a human being, dies on a cross for your sins and was buried and risen again, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And now, folks, he does this work in our hearts because there was a time when we were far away from God and we didn't have any thoughts toward God, but God sought us out as a good shepherd. And God awakened you, and you were awakened to the fact that, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of God. I didn't even know how to get saved when that happened, but God was merciful and led me to the right individual, and he led me to Christ because God knows what he's doing. And I'm so glad that he did that. Folks, we who had no hope, now we have hope in Christ if you've trusted in him. We can proclaim some extraordinary things as a child of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You can just cry unto the Lord as a little small child and say, "Oh, Father, Abba, Father, Papa, Lord, you love me." And God is good. He loves us in a manner and in a way that we cannot even fully process. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I'll read verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. And that says, "Behold, behold." Boy, take notice. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world just doesn't get it. You're a Christian. I mean, some will... Okay, that's great. And then there's others who just despise that. But they don't get it if they don't know the Lord. And it says that the world that knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then it says in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." We're going to be like the Lord. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." When you let those truths get a hold of you and I, that, wow, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God here today. I've been a child of God for almost 47 years. What a wonderful thing. And when I just let that thought just get a hold of me, you know what it does? It just takes me and it inclines my heart to just want to do right. And to want to please the Lord. And as verse 3 says, "Every man that hath this hope in him, he purifieth himself even as he is pure." We want to just please him. We want to live clean. We want to do what's right and honoring unto the Lord. May we take this newfound relationship and run with it, folks. May we run with it. Let us do it as John chapter 15. And I'll have you turn to that passage as well. John chapter 15, when the Lord is in the upper room, just before he's ready to go to the cross. He's only hours away from going to the cross. And he's in this upper room with the Lord, and he says this in chapter 15 in verses 1 through 5. And this conversation that he has is only recorded in the book of John. Now, all of the Gospels, obviously, they account and they give us an account of his crucifixion and all of that, but each Gospel gives us something different. And what takes place in the upper room is pretty much just set up for the book of John. Designated is the word I want. Designated for the book of John. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says this to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman," or the gardener, or the farmer, the one who tends to the vine. And you can just see the Lord looking at all of his disciples as he says this. Just put yourself in that upper room right now. And he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You know what he's saying? Every part of you that doesn't bear fruit, it's full of deadness. It doesn't, every extension of your life, every part of your life that is not for me, the Lord is wanting to just kind of clip that off and just purge it so that the whole plant, the whole flower will blossom. You know, being a gardener, you know it. You can relate to this. And then the Lord says in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's through the word of God that makes us clean. That's why we need to be in this word every day, reading it and meditating upon it and memorizing it. And then he says this, abide in me. You need to abide in me. That's a very intimate description of our relationship with the Lord. Stay close to me. Just hide yourself in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He says, you want to see the fruits, my fruits, the fruits of Christ? As Philippians chapter 1 talks about, may we be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. If we follow the Lord closely and walk with him and say, Lord, help me. Help me in these next, help me day to day. Help me in these moments where when I'm facing some of these pressure situations, I want Christ to come out, not the old nature. I've seen a lot of ugliness come out when the pressure's on with the old nature. Help me to keep my eyes on you. Help me to abide in you. And he says that when we do abide in him, I'll read that verse again, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You'll see some fruit come out, godly fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And then verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. He didn't say, without me, ye can do some things, did he? And he said, without me, ye can do nothing. Well, that's the thing that I'm really wanting to learn more and more and more. Lord, I get too much of myself into the equation. I get myself too much into the day-to-day life. How many of you might be guilty of that as well? We get a little bit too much of ourselves into things instead of saying, Lord, I just need to realize what I am. I'm just a vessel, and I just want to submit, and I want you to use me. But I realize, Lord, that it has to be you and completely you, because you say without you, we can do nothing. And I don't want to just be spinning my wheels. Do you want to just be spinning your wheels as a believer? You know, spinning our wheels, getting nowhere. We just look like, oh, we're really active, but we don't do it for Christ. And we don't do it submitted unto him. We still kind of want to run the show. We still kind of have that control freak description about us, you know, that we've got to turn that over to the Lord and let him do in us what he wants to do. And God will bless that in an incredible way. So he tells us to learn and develop, so that he can develop us. That's what I'm trying to say. So he can develop us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we'll just abide in him. And then let's just continue to look on to this last point. Not only do we have this new life with the Lord and this new relationship with him, but as we see here, we also have really a new purpose now. And not only a new purpose, but a new ministry that he's given to us. Some tools that he's given on our behalf that he has laid out for you and I. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And he's not just to a select few has he given these gifts, but folks, he's given it to all his children. We'll take a look here at the last part of verse 18. We read the first part of it, and I'll read that first part again. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself in Jesus Christ. That's that new relationship that we just spoke of. And then it says here in the last part of verse 18, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. And then verse 19, and I'm going to focus on the last part, but I'll read the whole verse, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Again, that's the great work that Christ did for us when he saved us. And he saved us from our trespasses and our sins. But we take a look at that last part of something that he's given to us, this new ministry, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So verse 18, the last part says, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, the last part says, that he has given unto us and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is this ministry? It's the ministry, again, of reconciliation, of reconciling two conflicting parties and bringing them together and reconciling them. What a great thing that we can be a part of. Simply put, it's a command and a responsibility that he's given to us to reconcile individuals to Christ, to God, and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell them about a loving Savior, to invite them to church, to give them a tract. That's why we put tracts out there. We've had Christmas tracts for this last month. We have regular tracts for all through the year. There's chick tracts out there. There are tracts of all sorts that you can take and give to somebody so that they can read, or maybe you can have a discussion with them if you have an opportunity and some time opens up for you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just for a pastor or for an evangelist or for a missionary. It's for every one of us who knows Christ. We're called to preach the gospel to every creature. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. We're not to make light of it. We're to do as God commands us to do. Let's make sure to tell lost sinners about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We have that opportunity when we go out on Saturdays and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have opportunities in many ways, talking to neighbors, handing out tracts, and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that this ministry is facilitated by his word. It's utilized by his word. Verse 20 says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for God. We are ambassadors for Christ, his representatives. What a great calling that is for you and I, that we are called to be his ambassadors. It's also in this sense of reconciliation, it's also being someone who can help a brother or a sister who is wayward from God, get themselves reconciled back with him. God uses you and I to do that. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, there's an opportunity that we have to try to work feuding parties to reconcile with one another. We pray for them, and we encourage them to get things right, because we would want somebody to encourage us to get something right if we've fallen out. Amen? And I'm sure it's happened to you. It certainly has happened to me through all these years. I'm so grateful for somebody that came to me and said, you know what, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'd get your heart right. I'm praying that you'll work this thing out with that brother, because God doesn't want to see any of that. God wants us to exercise forgiveness, because he forgave us for a whole bunch. And sometimes we can't forgive one another for just a little bit. Sometimes we get sideways over something that's really, really petty, something that's really minute, and we'll hold that over somebody for forever and ever when God has forgiven us for a whole mountain of sin and trespass and wickedness. Isn't that right? It certainly is right. And so we're to use this ministry of reconciliation to pray for others and pray that they would get their hearts right and get their hearts right with one another, get their hearts right with the Lord. And then with this is also the ministry of encouraging believers that are at odds with one another, again, to settle their differences. And that's what I just spoke of. But the verse here that I want to bring out is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, when it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. To the acknowledging of the truth. The Bible tells us to be at peace among ourselves, to be at peace among ourselves. That is, this is a blessed ministry, folks, using his word and being an ambassador, bringing people together. Bringing people together. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to see that this ministry of reconciliation, and I don't think we use it enough. We need to make sure that we pray and that we would be a blessing to one another. That's why so many churches have had schisms and divisions. We see our country having divisions, but it shouldn't happen in the church. We ought to be encouraging and exhorting one another and making sure that if we've offended somebody, to go up to them and say, "Brother, I want to just make sure I didn't offend you, because I don't want to keep the Spirit of God out of here." You know, if there's a lot of that going on, I don't even know to what degree. I believe the Spirit of the Lord says, "I'm not coming into this room with all of that going on. That doesn't please me." But when he sees a church that is determined to want to make sure that hearts are right, that there's a Christ-like spirit in there, that people are willing to forgive one another, that reconciliation is taking place, then the Lord will camp right in the midst of us. And we need that, folks. We need the Lord's blessings to be here and to work in our midst. And we think about this great verse that talks about what this great forgiveness that we have of what the Lord's done for us. Verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." A great reminder, God had made Christ to be sin for us. Jesus Christ became a sinner on your behalf. He never sinned, but he took all of our sins upon him. And that's what that's saying. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." He had never sinned once, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Folks, because of what God has done, because of the fact that he sent his son to die on a cross for us, and by the fact that we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we now have the righteousness of Christ upon us. The righteousness of God is ours. We don't want to try to stand before the Lord with our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is like filthy rags, the Bible says. But we have the righteousness of Christ, and that's the only way that you and I can approach heaven. That's the only reason that we can be allowed into heaven. It's because of what Christ has done for you and I. And I would say this for anybody here without Christ, that if you're without the Lord, maybe you've known about the Lord and thought about the Lord and agree and believed about the things of the Lord, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I want to challenge you today to make that decision for Christ. Because you can be saved today. Jesus Christ loves you. He died on a cross for you. He was buried and rose again. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we encourage you, we persuade you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Folks, we have this new life in Christ. We have this new relationship with the Lord. And it needs to be new each and every day. And we have this ministry of reconciliation. Folks, what are you and I going to do with it in 2024? Are we going to manage it well and be excited about it, and make sure that that's our main focus? Or will we get sidetracked this year and let it become stale? It's never intended to become stale. But may it be something that is just special each and every day in our hearts. All things are become new. With that, let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads before the Lord right now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we're in a spirit and an attitude of prayer before the Lord. Maybe God's spoken to your heart as a believer. You know Christ as your Savior. Maybe God's spoken to your heart today about your relationship and your walk with Christ. Maybe it's become somewhat stale. Maybe it doesn't feel new anymore. And then it's a good time for us to come before the Lord and just be open with him and confess that and get it right. And it'll become new again. I guarantee that. The Lord will make it new. He'll make it sweet. Now, maybe you're here today without Christ. You don't know if you died that you'd go to heaven. There's never been a time when you came and put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior. Then I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today to trust Christ as your Savior. We're going to have an invitation, and I would just encourage you to just step out in the aisle and come forward. We'll have somebody here that can show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Father, we come before you today and thank you, Lord, for this time of the year that it is, the last day of the year. Thank you for bringing us through 2023. Lord, we're ready to cross the threshold into 2024. Would you help us, Lord, for those of us that know you, help us to embrace the things that you've given to us. It's a new year, and we have new things. We have this new life in Christ. What a wonderful thing. And this relationship that we have with you, Lord, it's something that is new each and every day. Help us not to neglect it. Help us not to set it aside. Help us not to set it aside, Lord, but help us to value it. And Lord, thank you for this ministry that you've given to us of reconciliation, of making sure our hearts are right with you, making sure that we do all that we can to tell lost sinners about Christ so they could be reconciled unto God. Help us this year, Lord, to be better soul winners, to think more about others, Lord. So we pray, Father, that you do this work in people's hearts. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.